Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hidden History of Texas. This is episode 880, Texas Politics, as we start and live in the 1850s. I am your host and guide, Hank Wilson. Welcome back, everybody. Texas politics, well, it's a contact sport. And actually, today's Texas politics and politicians often seem like they're still set in 200, 175 years ago. In fact, if you think about some of the laws that are being passed today, if you didn't know better, you'd think you had somehow traveled back in time to the 1850s. Currently, there are portions of the political world that are trying to roll back civil rights. Racial animosity is at an all-time high. There's little tolerance for those who don't think like the party in power wants you to think. That is today. It was also the 1850s. And the 1850s were a mess in America, and so was Texas. But what was Texas and America like in 1850? Well, like I said, it was a mess. The country was mired in controversy after controversy, especially when it came to the issue of slavery. Texas itself, after lowering the flag of the Republic in 1846, struggled to find its footing. After the war with Mexico in 1848, the state government was bound and determined to make the Rio Grande River, especially the far western part, the state's boundary. Well, this meant that most of eastern New Mexico, including an area that reached all the way to Santa Fe, would become a part of Texas. We think big. In fact, in 1848, the state legislature declared that part of eastern New Mexico to be named Santa Fe County, and the governor, George T. Wood, sent Spruce Baird there to set up a county government. Well, needless to say, the proud people of Santa Fe refused to accept the Texans, and with the help of federal troops, forced Baird and the other Texans with him to depart. Baird was only able to stay until July 1849, at which time he left the region. Now, meanwhile, in Washington, a major controversy was brewing between legislatures from the North and those from the South. Of course, this was over the issue of slavery. Let's not, sugarcoat this, because I know there's a lot of government people nowadays trying to write this part of history out, erase it. They don't like to hear those words. Oh, no. Well, it was. It was about slavery, and especially if it was to be allowed in the newly acquired territories that had recently been acquired from Mexico in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican-American War. Now, this necessarily drew Texas into the dispute on the side of the South. Remember, the majority of the early Anglo settlers of Texas were mostly Southerners, and their allegiance was to the South and to the slave owners. Well, why does this matter? Well, because when President Zachary Taylor took office in March of 1849, he suggested that the best way to handle adding the new territories of California and New Mexico would be to bring them in directly as states and just bypass the whole you have to be a territory first. Now, while that sounds like an easy thing to do, not so fast, because most people knew that both California and New Mexico were most likely going to prohibit slavery. Well, because they had initially been settled by Spanish Mexico, and Spain and Mexico had outlawed slavery. Well, this set off alarms in the South, Texas, and the Anglo-Texans. It also angered Texans because it effectively stopped Texas from ever claiming Santa Fe and eastern New Mexico. And more importantly to the southern states, it would effectively stop the expansion of slavery at Texas. Now, diehard Southern slaveholders vowed they would break up the Union before they accepted President Taylor's proposals. Not only did they urge Texas to stand strong and demand the boundaries they wanted, but the Mississippi state legislature actually called for a convention to take place in Nashville in 1850, whose purpose was to devise and adopt some means of resistance to what they labeled as Northern aggression. Well, needless to say, this was warmly greeted by the passionate Southern spokesmen in Texas, and they took up the argument. They demanded that the state send delegates to Nashville to prove that Texas would never, not meekly, submit to the Union. And as my mother used to say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and in 1849, Texas legislature gave in to the pressure and passed an act that created new boundaries. Once again, they proposed to create Santa Fe County, and this time they sent Robert Neighbors to organize the government. Since this was a very active legislative group, they also declared that there would be an election in March of 1850 to send 8 delegates to the Nashville Convention so that they might provide consultation and mutual action on the subject of slavery and Southern rights. See, folks, slavery was a driving issue here. Now, Neighbors, as bared before him, discovered the residents of Santa Fe had no desire to be part of Texas. Well, being the stubborn folks that they were, the Texas government was ready to become aggressive and solve the matter by force. Well, luckily for all, calmer heads prevailed and discussions were held in Washington that resulted in the creation of a compromise. Maryland Senator James A. Pierce proposed that the Texas-New Mexico boundary be a line that was drawn on the eastern side from the Rio Grande along the 32nd parallel to the 103rd meridian, then north to 30 degrees, 30 minutes, and finally east again to the 100th meridian. This created the outline of Texas that you see today. Texas didn't suffer from this, and in fact, you could say the state profited nicely because in return for giving up its claim on New Mexico, Texas received $10 million in U.S. bonds. Half of the funds received were to be held to help pay off the state's public debt. Now, of course, some Texans, after all, we are notoriously stubborn people, bitterly opposed what they labeled the infamous Texas bribery bill. However, those who held the most extreme views were slowly being outvoted by more moderate citizens, not only in Texas, but also across the entire South. Now, one result of this crisis was that Texas hero and the most popular politician in the state, Sam Houston, well, he was actually moved to get involved. He poked fun at the idea of the Nashville Convention and an election to select delegates. Of those elected, only former Governor James Pinckney Henderson actually attended the meeting in Tennessee. On a side note, it was during the same election that Austin was chosen to be the permanent state capital. Even the Nashville Convention, the original diehards against Texas giving up its claim, eventually adopted a much more moderate stance. Finally, during the elections in November of 1850, Texans voted by a 2-to-1 margin to accept the Pierce bill, and the issue was resolved. At this time of the initial crisis in 1850, there was still a strong sentiment in favor of the Union. But the one thing that it also clearly demonstrated was how many, in fact, the majority of the Anglo citizens identified with the Old South. Now, this would be tested in the upcoming years, and at this time, a letter from Charles C. Mills of Harrison County to Governor Peter Bell summarized the situation and the thinking of some about why compromise was necessary. He was also very aware of how, even with a compromise, the situations and feelings were still tense and dangerous when he wrote, "Texas, having so recently come into the Union, should not be foremost to dissolve it, but I trust she will not waver when the crisis shall come." He was very much on target about a future crisis. The upcoming National Compromise of 1850 would lay the groundwork for the future troubles, and Texas would play a big role in them too. Okay, that's going to do it all for today. Texas politics of the 50s were pretty much as crazy and as chaotic as they are today. Now, eventually, though, in that time, folks came together and come together and we'll get things done. Now, next episode, I'm going to take a deeper look at the Texas economy in the 1850s, especially what happened leading up to and during the economic panic of 1857. You know, that's just so you can be prepared for the upcoming economic panic that I believe we're going to have in 2027. Please subscribe to the podcast. I'll be back. I'll keep posting new episodes, although sometimes life gets in the way, which is why there's sometimes a gap between episodes. And if you want more information on Texas history, visit the website of the Texas State Historical Association. I also have 4 audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas. Spanish Bump into Texas, 1530s to 1820s. Here Come the Anglos, 1820s to 1830s. Years of Revolution, 1830 to 1836. A Failing Republic Becomes a State, 1836 and 1850. And my latest, on the history of extreme weather events in Texas. You can find those books, those audiobooks, pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Just do a search for The Hidden History of Texas by Hank Wilson, and hopefully they'll pop right up at your favorite store. Or visit my website. That's https://arctx.org. That's arctx.org. And if you do like audiobooks, visit my publisher's website, ashbynavis.com. ashbynavis.com. Thanks for visiting, y'all. I'll talk to you later. Have a great day, a great week, and a great month. Peace, y'all.